Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and joining us this morning, Deborah Dobbs, Executive Director of the SPCA of East Texas. As always, good morning, Deborah. Great to have you with us.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me.
Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/infocus. In Focus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Deborah, the SPCA, animals that need attention, COVID-19, it's all going to work its way into the show today. And I guess we'll just start with the basics. I know it hadn't been too long. I know it was a while after I moved to Tyler. When did the SPCA in East Texas first get started? How long have you been up and going now?
Well, we're celebrating 10 years in February, so right. We're just about 10 years old, and it's been a crazy ride, but we're making lots of good progress, and I'm so proud of this organization and the community that we support for the progress and changes we're seeing to benefit animals.
You bet. And what prompted the formation of the SPCA? We already had the Humane Society. Local governments, I think, were still kind of working, maybe even struggling to get a handle on this whole issue. But what made you and your colleagues decide that it was time to have an SPCA in East Texas?
There is just such a tremendous need. The homeless population of dogs and cats, not to mention the unwanted and unplanned litters that continue to come into our community. So we felt a strong need to raise awareness and educate the community and then begin to provide services for not only rescuing and adopting homeless pets, but provide a spay-neuter outlet that was affordable to perhaps those who couldn't pay the private practice prices. So all of that in the last decade we have successfully brought into the community. So we're pretty proud.
All righty. And mission and values, I'll just go over that briefly. It's on the website. Your website, SPCAEastTX.com, if I have that correct.
That's correct.
And the mission of the SPCA of East Texas is to improve the lives of animals, alleviate their suffering, and elevate their status in society. And always helps me, and I always recommend it. Lots of information on that website. Whatever you don't hear on the show today or need a repetition or clarification about, just please do go to that website. Physical address, 4517 Old Bullard Road in Tyler. Email spca@spcaeasttx.com. And the phone number, main phone number, there are several phone numbers on here, but any questions you have can get answered if you'll just call 903-596-7722. Briefly, and Gail Helms, of course, a regular on this show and around the community with Pets for People, and city and county governments, I think, have come a long way in dealing with the problem of unwanted animals. Tell us just a little bit about how you work with those two organizations, to just get everything coordinated and make things as good as possible for all the animals you're trying to help.
It is confusing, John, and I'm so glad you asked. We, in the last decade, have seen our city and our county, so that would be Tyler and Smith County, both have erected and open and operating now full-time shelters. And when we first formed our organization, neither of those existed. There was sort of a makeshift operation. And so we now are proud to say that our city and county both operate shelters in our community that make rescue dogs available, as well as the rescue groups in the community, and there are many. Pets for People was probably the founding group, and they've been around the longest and have a wonderful reputation. But the demand is so high, one group alone just couldn't handle it. So thus we set forth to become part of the group. But as far as working with the shelters, we actually are allowed to what they call tag an animal. We search their website on a daily basis and tag animals that we feel we can bring in. We have an opening in our foster program, so we might tag a dog, and within 72 hours we're allowed to pick that dog up and then find it a home. So the rescue groups are allowed to work with the community shelters and reduce the demand on that facility. And that's kind of how it all works together. If you lose a pet in Tyler, though, you really almost need to reach out to both your community facilities and your rescues, because we all can help locate your lost pet.
Mm-hmm. And again, if you're still wondering where to turn, just for purposes of today's show, that number for the SPCA of East Texas, 903-596-7722. Any question about this that anybody has, just call that number and you and your colleagues will certainly point them in the right direction. Am I right about that?
You are.
Okay. Talking to Deborah Dobbs, Executive Director of the SPCA of East Texas, I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. And let's move on to some of the current topics, things that you really want to cover intensively today. Rescue animals currently in your care, you tell us, are at an all-time high. You're currently fostering about 200 dogs and cats. SPCA hotline, never been busier with calls from all over East Texas. Tell us a little bit about that. Kind of flesh it out for us, if you could, and talk about how you're dealing with it.
Well, we're doing a lot of good work, John, so that's the first thing I want to say. But the other thing that's equally important is we are nowhere near able to help all of the people and animals that call for assistance. The demand is very, very high. And, of course, it takes staff and it takes money and space. So that's why we have not limited ourselves to a brick-and-mortar building. We continue to grow our foster program and try to help as many as possible. Concerned with the current climate and maybe the loss of jobs, that perhaps that's why we're seeing a spike in homeless animals in East Texas. Eviction from homes, animals being left behind. It's quite sad. And now we're seeing that calls are coming from even further away, as far as Center and Carthage.
Wow.
Which is really, in fact, we're heading out this afternoon to a town near Center. And, you know, to go that far, we're not a huge organization, but we're trying. And we just want to encourage everyone that has a heart for rescue to reach out to us. And there's always a way you can get involved and help in some manner.
Okay, and that's interesting you should mention that. One of the things we talk about on this show, along with financial donations, which we're definitely going to get to later in the show, is how you can volunteer. Volunteer opportunities, I understand, at the SPCA of East Texas, very limited right now, but people can volunteer just by following the protocols that you'll find on that website and the ones that we're going to talk about today. Be a responsible pet owner. Make sure that you get in contact with somebody if you see an animal in distress, and that's pretty much the way people can volunteer for you right now, I guess.
Absolutely. We have a lot of dogs that are not in foster yet, and they need to be walked on a daily basis. With the weather cooling off, we're looking at implementing a dog walking program for volunteers. It would be supervised. So I would encourage everyone to watch our website for the next few weeks and look for that. If you're interested in getting outdoors, walking some dogs, and getting some exercise, that's something we're hoping to implement. With the COVID-19, we feel like we can still do that safely with a mask and social distancing.
Sure thing. And that website, spcaeasttx.com. Phone number, main phone number, 903-596-7722. And the lobby hours for the Adoption Center, by the way, that's by appointment only. Another one of the COVID-19 restrictions. We'll get to some more on that as we move through the show. One of the other things, several other things that we're going to talk about today, rural dog dumping is on the rise, and cases of hoarding are becoming more and more common. So 10 years ago or so when you started this program, you had enough problems as it was. And now with COVID-19, as you alluded a few minutes ago, things have just really gotten worse. And this whole rural dog dumping situation, I know, has got you thrown for a loop.
It's very sad, John, because what some might view as someone who's maybe not having the best intentions truly is a well-meaning person. And what happens is it gets out of control. And the residents of Smith County and beyond continually, you will find, have dogs that they have just shown up on their property and they've taken them in.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes from 1 to 2 to 22 in just a few months. It can, you know, get out of hand. So the well-meaning East Texans that are doing this, we want to continue to encourage. But the second part of that is that these animals must be spayed and neutered, or you're going to find yourself in an awful situation with much greater problems than you thought.
Okay, spaying and neutering is another issue we're going to talk about a little bit later on in the show. because that has changed as well. But you do have some good news you're going to share with us, I understand, a little bit later on. So let's
Absolutely.
Hold that thought. Now, foster families, you tell us, they're the most critical need since you don't operate that shelter and almost all of your animals are in private foster homes. Let's talk a little bit right now about your fostering program.
All right. Well, that is one of the best ways to get involved, in my opinion. Now, the number one reason we hear people shying away from fostering is that they say, oh, I can never let him go. Once I got that pet in my home, I can never let it go. But here's the good news. You get to stay involved in the process. You get to participate in the adoption, the selection of the final permanent family for this animal. Many times these people exchange emails and Christmas cards, and you get to follow the life of this dog.
Mm.
So it's not the end of a relationship. When you've participated in finding a permanent family for a pet, you turn right around and get another pet. So what you've done now is saved another life, and then another life, and then another life. So by fostering and then relinquishing and being strong, and we support each other. We have a special Facebook page for our fosters because we know you get attached, and we want you to care and to love these animals. But it's so rewarding to see them go to forever families and then see yourself be able to open up for another dog or cat.
Okay, talking to Deborah Dobbs, Executive Director of the SPCA of East Texas. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. Fostering is fun, you tell us. Rewarding, low or no cost to you, teaches your kids the responsibility of caring for another living creature and another way to for kids to spend time during the COVID-19 pandemic, too.
Absolutely. I think that caring for something and having a responsibility starts at a young age and teaches some great qualities in builds character. So what better way than to have a pet that you can play with and learn to love, but also understand there's responsibility that comes with that. They have to eat. They have to be taken out for walks. They have to be brushed. So there's a great opportunity to not only save lives, but to teach your children some wonderful personality traits.
Mm-hmm.
We encourage that.
Provides companionship, I should say, to those living alone. That's another important point.
Absolutely. We encourage anyone, all ages, and we customize your foster animals. If you're a single person with a small house, we're certainly not going to bring you a German Shepherd. You know, we do small dogs for small areas. If you're a little bit up in years, in your golden years, and you've got lots of time, nothing is better for fostering. And we just make sure we don't have a pet that you might get under your feet and cause you to, you know, trip or fall. There's so many considerations, but there's so many dogs in so many varieties that we can fit you with the perfect foster.
Okay, now we're talking about fostering. What do you want to tell us about adoption? I know there are some pretty lengthy instructions about adopting a dog or adopting a cat on your website. What can you tell us right now about what you're doing in that regard?
Adoption is a process. We encourage people that are looking for a pet to go ahead and make application, and that can be done online, of course, at our website. It's a click and then another click. It's a couple pages of questions. We're trying to fit you with the perfect pet. We want it to be successful. Typically, these animals have already had one failure in their life. They've come to us because something didn't work out. So we want it to work out this second go-round, not only for the dog or cat, but the family. So that's why we ask all the questions. And sometimes it's a little off-putting to some, but we promise to make it a good experience and support you even after the adoption is completed. Adoption fees are $150 for dogs and $75 for cats. And those animals are fully vetted. They're fully vaccinated, spayed, neutered, microchipped, and because they've been in foster homes most of the time, they're highly socialized, and they've learned to walk on a leash, sleep in a crate, use a litter box. So you're getting a really good package with an adopted rescue pet.
Okay. All SPCA organizations are independent from each other, and the ASPCA, which is based in New York City, does not provide support to other SPCAs, and we're not trying to criticize anybody by any stretch of the imagination. We just want to make sure that you get your point across, that from your standpoint, it's important to support your local SPCA.
That's so true, John, and there's a great deal of confusion because the names are so very similar, but each organization is required to support itself through donations and or grants. And when you see those commercials on TV, many times people call and say, you know, we give to you every month, and then we check our records and say, no, actually, your money is leaving East Texas and going mm-hmm. to New York, which they do amazing work. But it's so important for the smaller local SPCAs to be supported by their community. So we are trying to get that message out without sounding critical in any way.
Okay. Deborah Dobbs, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. Deborah Dobbs, the Executive Director of the SPCA of East Texas, spcaeasttx.com is the website, and the phone number, 903-596-7722. And again, lots of information on that website. We do encourage you to take a look at that if you want more information. Your community programs, as you alluded a moment ago when you were talking about the national organization, they're 100% dependent on your donors and their support. And I think from there, we need to jump right into the fact that while your programs are including rescue of homeless dogs and cats, COVID-19, there's that again, has directly impacted your ability to host your two annual fundraisers, both canceled for 2020. Tell us what those are in a normal year and a little bit about what you're trying to do to fill that gap.
Well, we, for several years now, have hosted two major events each year in the community that allow us to raise money directly for the rescue of homeless dogs and cats. It's expensive to do these things, and we don't make money on our adoption fees. It barely covers the cost. So to support these programs, we have our Fur Ball every New Year's Eve and our Dogtoberfest in October. Mm-hmm. Those events typically generate $150,000 to $200,000 a year. And that goes, like I said, directly back into the community for these programs. Without these two events, we're obviously concerned about our financial standing, and we encourage people now to become monthly givers at whatever level they're able to give through our Lifesaver program. It's available on our website and allows you to give monthly. It's easy. You just go online, answer a few questions, and indicate what you would like to give. So no amount is too small, and this is one of the things we're doing to help recover from the loss of these two fundraisers.
Mm-hmm. 100% of all donations go to your rescue program, and it's used right here in East Texas. Want to make sure we get that point across. And along with that, some people would prefer maybe a smaller one-time gift or an annual gift of some kind.
Absolutely.
And I didn't check that closely, and my bad on that. I believe there is just a regular donation button on your website. People can
absolutely. Yeah, you can check one time or recurring, and we take care of that on our end, and it's really simple. You'll receive receipts in the mail each month for your gift, and or if it's a one-time gift, we send that as well. So we really appreciate and encourage that if you can possibly do that.
Mm-hmm. And you can drop a check in the mail. We'll give the mailing address out real quick here. It's P.O. Box 132899, Tyler 75713. And some people prefer to do it the old school way. I'll confess that I have kind of been straddling the earlier in the modern age in that regard. So
I understand.
Anything that anybody wants to do to help you out financially, I'm sure you'll be very glad to take them up on the offer. Now, moving along to your wellness services, the Snippet Clinic, et cetera. The Snippet Clinic basically taking care of wellness for animals and also that spaying and neutering. Spaying and neutering on hold, but not for much longer, and we're going to get to that in a moment. Snippet Clinic does continue to offer wellness services to dogs and cats at very affordable costs, you tell us. Now, what was initially a lengthy wait time for patients, now being done by appointment. How is that working for you as far as getting all this done by appointment?
You know, it's kind of fun. I'm proud to say COVID-19 did not stop our services. We have relocated our operations and our intake to our parking lot. You have a check-in tent. You have a tent that you request your services, and then you have a third stop in the parking lot where your pet is removed, walked into the building, and we bring your pet right back out to you, and you pay your bill, and you drive away. So it's like almost like a Sonic drive-in for pets. But it's working, and I think we're going to continue that even into the winter months. We're able to see a number of people in a short period of time. Last weekend, in one day, we served 99 customers. So that is that tells me this is working. We've worked through the kinks of COVID-19. But you are not required to come into the building. You're allowed to remain in your vehicle with your pet, and we've made it as easy and smooth as possible. So that's working really, really well for us.
Deborah Dobbs, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. Deborah, the executive director of the SPCA of East Texas. And again, as far as wellness is concerned, you're talking vaccinations, heartworm tests, heartworm and flea preventives, nail trims, things like that. Just really the basics. And the number is 903-426-1600. And again, we want to emphasize it is by appointment only. Moving along to the spaying and neutering piece, that's gotten to be a bit of a challenge. But you do have some good news after almost a year without a full-time surgeon. Somebody's going to be coming on board in October. Tell us a little bit about her and how that will improve your services.
Well, veterinarians that work as hard as the Snippet Clinic vets do are a little in short supply. Veterinarians that can do 30 to 40 surgeries a day are a little in short supply. So we have been looking for almost a year for a high-volume spay-neuter surgeon, and we are so excited. Dr. Valerie Jumper will be joining our team mid-October. And she comes to us from the Dallas area. She's been a veterinarian for 7 years and is highly skilled, and she will be performing our spay and neuter services. So we will be reopening the Snippet Clinic for all services by the middle of October, and we're very excited to be able to do this for the community again.
All right, so right now, no spay and neuter services being offered by the SPCA, and I guess the best advice we can give on that is get with a local veterinarian and try and work that out as well as you can. And on the other side of the coin, you won't have to wait too much longer before you can have it done again by the SPCA. That pretty
Absolutely.
Much sum it up? Okay. Because spaying and neutering, very important. Want to emphasize that, whether the SPCA is offering it right now or not. Got to be done. It's just really a key. I almost want to say the key to
It truly is, John.
Doing what you are in the business of doing. The SPCA of East Texas still operating the large 8-acre dog park at 3393 West Grande in Tyler. I know I'd kind of been wondering about that with all the social distancing and everything else that for a while we just really weren't allowed to go out at all except for essential services. But tell us about that, what's happening on West Grande Boulevard right now, and just the basics of what people keep in mind, a lot of which I know is going to be familiar because of the general rules, but let's make sure everybody knows what how that's working.
Well, it's working really well because one of the things that we all look for now is places to do things outdoors. I think we've all learned that that is a safe option during the pandemic. So the 8-acre dog park is divided into four quadrants, two large and two small. There are shade pavilions and dog watering stations in each park. There are parking lots on both ends of the track. And it is the most beautiful wooded track right in the heart of Tyler. It sits between Old Jacksonville and 155, and it's rolling and wooded, and there's a 2-acre lake right near the dog park. So you can let your dog run and play, find a bench under a tree, and enjoy the water, just the sky and the birds. It's just a big piece of nature right in the heart of Tyler.
Okay, dog park open to the public 365 days a year from dawn to dusk. Those are good hours. I'm sure that'll be convenient for practically everyone. And things that people need to keep in mind, is there anything that hasn't already been covered by Governor Abbott's orders or whatever? I mean, you know, as far as masking, social distancing, whether you have hand sanitizing stations, anything of that nature you want to share with us?
All of those things are important. And whether you're indoors or out, and certainly in any public setting, we just encourage you to be respectful. And if your pet is a little overzealous or a little too excited about the play dates, you know, you're responsible for maintaining the animal and keeping that animal within your control. So although it is an off-leash park, we just ask everyone to please be responsible as you would your child. Your four-legged child is equally important to watch and supervise.
You've been talking to Deborah Dobbs, Executive Director of the SPCA of East Texas on In Focus. I'm John Sims. The Adoption Center for the SPCA of East Texas, 4517 Old Bullard Road in Tyler, and you can call 903-596-7722. The Adoption Center lobby hours by appointment only, and I guess you don't even actually have, it's more like parking lot hours right now, I guess. But SPCAEastTX.com, lots and lots of information on that website, including details about how what you have to do in order to adopt a dog or adopt a cat. There's something else on the website that caught my attention, and this is something, when I was a little kid, of course that was a long time ago, declawing was actually considered okay, and now, no declawing. Tell us why it's important not to declaw a cat.
Well, first of all, it is excruciatingly painful. You are actually removing the first digit. Imagine the first digit of your fingers being removed. The pain that the animal goes through is very hard for anyone to even probably comprehend. Secondly, if that cat is accidentally lost or it gets out the back door without your knowledge, that cat is not able to climb. It's lost the ability to flee predators and to find itself a safe place to get away from things like hawks and coyotes. So you've really inhibited your animal's ability to live safely should something happen. And although we all want to think we're never going to lose our pets, it happens every day, and it happens in just an instant. So declawing an animal really puts it in harm's way.
Okay. Tips and solutions right from the website. Regular clipping or the tip of the claw can help alleviate damages from scratching. There are other things on here, including your policy to require your adopted cats to live indoors unless they're being walked on a leash or accompanied by you. We don't have time to go into a lot of detail about that, but I did want to bring it up simply because it caught my attention, and I think it's important, and it is on that website as well. As we get ready to wind down the show, I think it's time for you to reemphasize, please, prevent unwanted litters by spaying and neutering your pets. And anything you want to add to that, anything you want to reemphasize, even things we've already gone over that you maybe want people to hear one more time.
Absolutely, John. And thanks again so much for letting us have this time together. The prevention of these unwanted litters is the key to ending homelessness. So please look us up. Our website is a great resource. We'll answer phone calls if you call us. But the spaying and neutering services are available, and they will be available in mid-October at a much reduced price. So give us a call. Let's get you scheduled with your dogs and cats to prevent any unwanted litters from coming into the East Texas area. There are so many already here that we're all trying to take care of.
All right. For less than $75, you tell us, you can be part of the solution, and that's also important to remember. Again, Deborah Dobbs, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. We have maybe another minute or a minute and a half left. And I just really, I think maybe now would be a good time to remind people that your two major fundraisers are off this year. So another chance for you to issue that call for financial donations. I know you need them now more than ever.
Absolutely. It's called the Lifesaver Program. It's available online. You click on a couple of buttons and you're signed up. You can elect to give once or you can elect to give monthly. No gift is too small. And 100% of your dollars stay right here in East Texas, saving lives. So that is a critical step right now for us to continue these life-saving services.
All right, and you're pretty much it for a good ways around as far as SPCAs. I mean, if you had to go over to, I think you said the Center or Carthage area?
That's correct.
So if you're, as they used to say, within the sound of my voice, you primarily serve Tyler and East Texas, Tyler and Smith County, but people are certainly more than welcome to give you a call, even if they live near but not quite in that area. And if nothing else, you can certainly refer them to the correct agency if you're not able to help them, right?
Absolutely, and we're happy to do that.
Okay. Winding down the show, we have had Deborah Dobbs on the air with us this morning. Deborah, the Executive Director of the SPCA of East Texas. And Deborah, thanks for calling in this morning. Important information. Thanks for taking a while to share it with us.
All right. Thank you, John.
You bet. Deborah Dobbs, SPCA of East Texas, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. Thank you for joining us. See you again next week on In Focus.